Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today I'm going to go through a lot of Bible verses, so I think we all should have a Bible on hand. If everyone's ready yet. So I'll just start off with a prayer first. Father God, we just want to thank you that we can come and worship you today together to read your words, to meditate on your word, and to remember what you've done for us, that you've given us your son, so that just as he died, we also died with him, and that we were raised up in Christ and in the heavenly realm. And we just want to thank you that we are saved. Not that we deserve it, but because by your grace that you've given us this life. And so we just want to commit this time into your hand, and may the holy anointing work in us, and the speaker, and the listeners, and may you speak what you want to share today, and that you work in the hearts of man, so that that you do your work, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. We just want to thank you, and bless this time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We can start with Psalm 1. If you can turn to the book of Psalm 1. When we're ready, and I'll just read out for all of us. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I'll just stop there. And today's topic, actually, I just want to share with you is about praying. Because one of our sisters mentioned that we ought to pray for one another. And I've been praying about as well, about what to share, and I think this topic is appropriate. In Psalm 1, it's reminded that a Christian who's living the life of God, a man of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, for a Christian to truly live a life of God, is he really having a fellowship and connected to God? And is he able to manifest that life? And I searched and also study the Word of God and trying to understand this. And when you come to look at it, we've got to ask ourselves: how often do we go to pray to God daily? Do we meditate on his word, and do we actually live a spiritual life where we actually come to him daily? Do we come to him in the morning? Do we actually approach him? And do we go and commune with him? The question that I actually have for everyone is, how much time do we spend praying to God? Seriously and in sincerity pray to him? If we can count it, do we pray like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or do we pray an hour or more? It's a question that that we personally know, and something that we've got to ask ourselves, do we honestly have that relationship with him? Yeah, just like Neil shared last week about to live out that life, but that life is dependent on that connection, that true relationship with God. And for me, I realized that I need to spend more time with him. I mean, in private prayer, and all this Bible study means nothing if I don't actually have that close relationship with him, and to pray to him and talk to him and have that closeness, because all this is meaningless. And I think Brian Neil clearly said that words can kill if it's just words and study. The next verse I want to point you to read is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. So just before Hebrews, Philemon, Titus. Was it 2 Timothy chapter 2? Was it 2 chapter 2? Sorry. Just trying to find my one too. Sorry, I got my notes mixed up. I think I'll read it if I picked the wrong one. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, that prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of truth. First Timothy chapter 2. Sorry. Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah. So Paul is exhorting that that all our prayers, like supplications, like praying for ourselves, and prayers and intercession for others, all these things is first and foremost, it's the most important thing. First of all, that's Paul is exhorting and telling all the saints that that's the first thing we ought to do, to pray. And as I mentioned before, pray does take time, and I think a lot of Christians in the past have encouraged us by spending the first hour of the day that you wake up to pray to God, to actually devote the best time of your day to actually seek His face first. The reason is because a lot of times during the day you're going to be busy with facing men's faces, and do we draw strength from the Lord when we actually go and see God face to face in the morning, or do we just get up in the morning and then we just, you know, busy and hurry with our life, and we forget to see that we actually need to draw strength from the Lord by going to Him first and actually seek His face, and that's only through our prayers. And this is through our faith, because we are talking to an unseen God, but we know who He is. But we need to go to Him to speak to Him, to talk to Him. Because if it's an unseen God, but it is something that we need to have a real relationship with, and that's only possible if we actually spend time and speak to Him, and actually when you speak to Him, you're actually revealing a lot of your true nature to Him, and that's where I'm going to talk about, where it's actually humbling when we go to God face to face with Him. And a lot of times, even from my experience, is that when we go to God, it's humbling in the sense that there are things that hinders us to go to God, and God will correct you, and God will humble you, and God will show you where God needs to mold you in this aspect. Is there something that hinders us to see God? Is there, like last week discussed, how there's unbelief, there's pride, there's self-centeredness? Are these things stopping us from going to Him and truly speak to Him, and to have that closeness and relationship? But just as First John promised that if we repent, and God is faithful to forgive us. Now, the reason we need to go to the Lord in prayer is also we realize that when we say Lord, Lord, I mean we're going to the throne of grace, and when we come to Him, I just find that when we go to Him, when we say Lord, Lord, do we actually go and pray to Him? I don't know, like all the saints in the past, they all come to Him with bended knees, and I don't know from your experience whether you come to Him to pray to Him, to come and kneel before Him and pray to Him. Does that, your posture, does that make you feel, and also does that make you realize how small we are, and we need to go to Him as Him for Him who really is our God, our Lord. And I just want to also share that, when we come to Him, we might be weak, we might be, sometimes we feel like in our weakness, in our flesh, pitiful. But when we come to Him, He actually blesses us and feeds us as well. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want to hinder us. He actually says, come to Me, and I'll draw near to you. And this is only possible because of by His Son, through His death and resurrection, that we may come to Him. And just as Jesus said, I'm the gate, who enter through Me will be saved. And next, I just want to go on to share. There was 2 Timothy chapter 1. Sorry, I got confused with 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, because we're still going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So I'll read this one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also your youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I was just sharing with you about how as Christians we come before Him and we approach Him in prayer. And sometimes there's that humbling experience where we also molded by the Lord. But also, if there's anything that hinders us, we come to claim the word of the Lord. And as Paul reminded Timothy, he said that to flee from youthful lusts. It's a reminder for all of us that just as in our Christian walk, we flee from youthful lusts. He actually asks us to also pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Because if we're just fleeing from temptation and we're not running towards something, we're just going to flee from this whatever's chasing us, and it'll catch up with us. Paul is actually asking us to pursue righteousness. And if you look at it, righteousness is something that's just overarching, but actually we are pursuing God in terms of faith, love, and peace. And I find that through private prayer, we're actually we see more and more God's will and God's desire in terms of how we learn for us to be molded and learn to love others, learn to intercede for others, and realize that you're in the body of Christ and we're praying for each other. And this starts with a prayer and starts with our faith in the Lord and what He's able to accomplish. And all these things builds up faith upon faith, and then and love of God fills you and to be filled in God's love. And all these things work together so that you may grow in Him. And these things are only possible and is possible when we actually pursue Him in terms of prayer and then allow the Lord to work in us. This private prayer is only something that only you and the Lord will know how close your relationship is. It's not, and actually a lot of public prayer and a lot of corporate prayer reveals how much time you spend with the Lord as well. I just want to come back to why I mentioned that how much time you spend with Him in with the Lord. There was a movie called War Room. I think what's the name? Judith mentioned about the movie War Room. I haven't watched it, but I heard about how in America there's all these Christians started using their closet to make it into a prayer room, like a war room, And in Matthew chapter 6 verse 5. I'll ask Long to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 8.
Okay. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by them. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Thanks, Long. And pray is important because it's not a duty. It's actually, as Christian, it's our responsibility. And I will point out to where Paul reminds us to pray. And a lot of salvation of new believers is only possible through prayers and through the working in the background where when someone's preaching the gospel, there's a lot of prayer work done beforehand, and also those who are praying for the gospel to work in the hearts of men. And we ought to pray for our family, for our friends, and these things are not like short prayer. It's actually a struggle with God to for him to work and to save the sinners. And I think I was reading Charles Spurgeon. He's a great preacher, and I read just the other day, it said something like when he was preaching in his church, there's downstairs or the basement, there's like, I don't know if that's the right number, but 800 people or something was praying for him while he's preaching. That's a lot of people. This is because they know the spiritual reality of that they're working in the heavenly realm, that they're working for God to work and the Holy Spirit to work. And it's not something we can see, but they know that they're wrestling with God so that God will work and accomplish his work. And Charles Spurgeon, we might look at him as a man, but the prayers of the saints for him allow him to do all that work. And even in the messages we have today and all, everywhere in churches everywhere, only by prayer is possible for the Holy Spirit to work in man's heart. Otherwise, all these are just academic, just a show. It's actually more about prayer to work in the hearts of man so that we can be saved and so that the Lord may gain us. As I said before, when we study the word of the Lord, you need to pray about it as well. Our prayer life goes into helping us to understand God's word and to apply it. Now, I quoted a few things from Paul, from the letters and epistles of Paul, letter Timothy. Paul, we know that his life was like a great apostle. He was blinded, and the Lord asked Aeneas to go and touch him so that his eyes may be open. He's chosen greatly to do his work, to do the Lord's work. Now, you might think he's great, he's doing great work. But have you ever noticed how in all the letters, what does he ask the saints to do? What does he ask all the time? He actually asks in the letters, he said, pray for me. Pray for us. Pray. And he's saying that he's sharing the gospel. He's saying, pray that I can be able to share the gospel clearly and to, so that men may be saved. He knows that he can't do it himself. He actually needs the Lord to help him to do it. And actually, Holy Spirit to work in man's heart to save many Christians, and especially Gentiles, because he's working with the Gentiles. And Yeah, it just reminds us that how much more we need to pray continually. And because Paul knows who's in control, and Paul knows who's the enemy, who he's facing, and he actually needs the body of the saints, the body of Christ, to actually work with him. And that's where I will point you to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 19. Ask Abraham to read chapter 6, verse 10 to 19.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel.
Yep. Thanks, Abraham. Yeah. So we can see that praying is not about wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's against against the principalities, against the powers, against the rules of darkness. And we know how much the world influences, and how the world is under influence of the evil one, and we ought to pray, and pray for ourselves and pray for others as well. And I just want to say one more thing in that, which I forgot to mention in the beginning. A lot of times when we wake up in the morning, we ought to go to the Lord first, because I find that we're going to face men and face the world, but more now, more so than ever, I think we're going to face this more in our face. And I don't know, in the old days, not that old, but we used to ask ourselves, like, how much time do you use spend in front of the TV screen? And we can ask ourselves, like, do you count how many hours you spend in front of the TV screen? My parents say don't watch TV. But now I'm finding that it's getting more personal with these devices, that how much time do we actually spend on this device? And it's very personal, it's direct and personalized, and it's in your face all the time. How much time do we spend with the Lord before we actually start spending time with this? Either for work or for communication or whatever, that's fine, but you know, the question we've got to ask ourselves, how much time do we spend with the Lord before we spend time with man and its mediator with man? Because we're actually spending more time to try to talk to people through this device, and it takes a lot of focus. But actually, when you think about it, actually it's not focusing, it's actually distracting, and more distracting. Starts with one thing and it goes on to more distractions. And I just want to conclude with one more Bible reading, and I think I've got it this, I read it this morning, and I just remind me, because some brothers and sisters, when they say they're wrestling with God, what does it mean by wrestling with God? And that refers to the Bible verse in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. So chapter 32, verse 22 is talking about Jacob. It started with, so Esau was really scared of his brother. Jacob was scared of his brother Esau because he was coming with 400 men. And he's wondering, is he coming to... Well, we don't know I'm sure he has this fear in his heart, but we don't know what Esau was thinking in his mind that time. But that night, I'll read it for chapter 32, verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw what he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. So that's the socket of Jacob, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And Jacob said, And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall be no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So yeah, that just shows that for us, we have the privilege to go and see God face to face, and our life is more than preserved. Our life is blessed and more abundantly in the heavenly realm. And I think we ought to, and I just urge us all to, approach him and don't allow anything to hinder us to see him. And come to him in petition, in prayers. I'm sure it's like if God built a hospital, and even though you're not and you're not sick, you must go through that gate. Or if, for example, as the spiritual was saying that if a government built a house, a food, a restaurant, or there's all these poor people. And there's a law that says all the poor people must go in and eat and be fed. I mean, how much more we need to go to God and be fed by him. Yeah. And be healed by him, be strengthened by him, and that's only possible. And he wants us to come to him. So, and that's where I'll conclude today. Yeah. And I'll close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you want us to come to you, to enter into your fellowship. There's nothing that hinders us to come to you. Although it is our flesh and blood doesn't desire to, but we just want to come to you and allow you to work in us. help us to deny ourselves to, and then that we may, yeah, to do your work, because we know what is at hand and what work needs to be done on this earth, and you save us for a purpose, and help us, Lord, not to be little for you, but to do much more for you, and allow you to work in us. Yeah, may you glorify your Son. May you work in all of us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. I just have a comment to make. It was really interesting, one of the verses that you brought up.
Yes.
But in like 1 Timothy 2. First of all, that verse that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, the kings and all who are in high positions, whether they need a peaceful and quiet life, godly and peaceful in every way. And I was just, I was thinking that, especially for us younger people, and especially in Australia, the government is a joke, and all we do is complain and laugh at it. And in many ways, it is laughable. But like it says here, to pray for them as well, and to pray for the leaders of the land. And much as we may dislike every poly, we still have this job to pray for them for the sake of for everyone and also for ourselves. Yeah, and so. It is a very Australian cultural, it's a very Australian culture thing to dislike all authority and laugh at everything. And I guess that has its own charm, but we do have a role to pray for the government, yeah, as well, and just for people in positions of authority, whether that's at school or at church or, yeah, whatever.
And that's pretty poignant when you think about the kings at this time were like the crazy Roman emperors, and the fact that the people, Paul was encouraging people to pray for emperors like Nero and stuff who were persecuting people.
I was concerned that the labor was going to be the last action. The Lord prevailed and has mercy on us. And but like Abraham said, they're both similar in some ways. Yeah, it's very hard to say. I think we still have time for others to also bring up some topics. If there's any. I'm sure some of us probably more experienced in private prayer and praying for others, and maybe you can share with us. Thank you.